Hey guys, we're the Hard Time Straw Men podcast, sharing up a bear class of men. And today, we are continuing on our Hide and Go Seek series with Hide and Go Seek, The Hunted. Reference will be in the description, but for today's episode, overall situation kind of framework for the episode. So due to deteriorating society, societal collapse, familial conflict, armed conflict, injustice, etc., and because of your unwavering faith, principles, and values, you've organized and host an active station in a modern-day underground railroad for your local community. You provide a safe hiding place with food and shelter for refugees, runaways, outlaws of unjust laws, victims of domestic violence and abuse, people that need your help, etc., etc., before sending them on to another station in your underground railroad to safety and freedom. Specifically for this episode today, our running scenario is as part of a guerrilla hunter-killer team, a sister team in your area, team member, has been identified, and you need to hide him until preparations can be made for him and his family to be safely relocated.
And in this episode, we're going to be mainly focusing on the organization of your individual station along this underground railroad. We're going to be talking about the provisions for which you provide for these individual or individuals that you will be sheltering at your station. And we're going to be talking about the secrecy surrounding your individual cell along this modern day underground railroad, which if you think back in a historical context, you know, back in the 1800s, you would be helping runaway slaves flee to the north to gain their freedom.
I mean, if you got caught, I mean, you, your family, whoever, you know, your guest, for lack of a better term, could be, you know, imprisoned, killed, or worse. You know, it would not have been a good time for you. And same thing applies in the scenario if you are, you know, hiding and undesirable and you get caught doing it. Not good. I don't know if any of you have seen Inglourious Bastards, but yeah. Are you hiding enemies of the state underneath your floorboards? That's what we're covering today. Organization, like you said, organization, not just of your station, but just the overall kind of system you got going. So, you know, we have been and continue to harp on community. So if you are not the one-stop shop, the only safe house for your guest, you know, what they need, then you'll have to work with other people. So we're working on community. Does your circle and their adjacent or connected circles share your beliefs, both, you know, religious, political, you know, whatever? Do they share your values? Will they go to bat for a total stranger? How do you vet these people? How do you vet total strangers? And when push comes to shove, will they rat you out? Will they rat you and your family out? If you fail, if you're found out, you, your loved ones, and your guests could wind up in prison, dead, or worse, like we said.
Yeah, I think that's the hard part, as we've found out, really, is just the vetting process. Man, unless you plan on being like super paranoid and digging through someone's entire past, their connections, it's a lot. It's really hard to properly vet someone, especially in a situation like this.
Well, you have to think that everyone, you know, is going to be looking out for themselves. So unless if you can guarantee that these people in your circle, you know, the surrounding communities, these other families, are on the same level as you, you know, strong in your faith, in your convictions, in your morals, then you know, that's a pretty far way to reach out on a rope. But yeah, outside of the vetting process, you know, that's something that you have to think about with organization is, you know, maybe not everybody is going to have the same level, same resources as you do, right? So if you don't have just one person, you have multiple people, you know, will he be able to accompany or accommodate rather that level of people? How are you going to transport those people? How are you going to communicate about, you know, your guests and the situation? You know, in the past, we talked about one-time pads. We talked about, you know, just word of mouth. Obviously, you don't want anything on digits. Obviously, you don't want anything that could be, you know, duplicated or, you know, traced back to you. So a lot is probably going to be word of mouth. It's probably going to be, you know, a certain code that you come up with and trying to keep that, you know, that circle very small. But at the same time, you don't want to have all of, you know, the eggs in one basket. You don't want one person knowing the whole picture. So in the Underground Railroad, while there were abolitionists that set up, you know, networks, most of the time, more often than not, it was individual people, you know, doing individual acts to help, you know, make a chain that, you know, led these people up north to freedom. So it is important to think of things decentralized. You know, everyone should know just enough to get on. And that's where your word of mouth, you know, I know a guy who knows a guy kind of thing comes in, because then you can have plausible deniability. Then you can have, you know, these different safety nets in place.
Right. Especially because if you have one or more people who know the entire picture and they captured and get forced to talk, your entire network is just blown at that point.
Absolutely. But moving on to provision, you want to cover that?
Right.
Yeah, man. Or at least cut it off.
So, yeah. So provisions, these are the basics. I mean, it's about what you outfit your with. This is going to be an expanded view of this. So you're going to come up with clothing, food and water, shelter. And as far as the shelter goes, you know, where are you going to hide this person or these people? You're going to do it under the staircase, behind a false wall, the attic, basement, garage, shed, car. You know, there is a laundry list of things. And like I've said in the past, your imagination is the limit when it comes to this kind of stuff. And how long are you going to be able to sustain them while they're in your care? And that really comes down to what you've got on hand, what you can store. And when it comes to that too, you got to think of, especially when it comes to clothing, their sizes, because no two people are going to have the same clothing and the same shoe sizes. It's one of those things. So you got to keep in mind with clothing, you got to keep in mind all gender. So you got women, children, depending on the situation, they could be dress clothes, could be work clothes, could be casual clothes. It really depends on the situation, what you're getting into.
And food and water. So this is going to be a huge and probably unforeseen burden on your family. This is something that essentially nobody else knows about. So keeping livestock, tending a garden, digging a well, anything that you can do to make yourself self-sufficient, less, you know, less dependent on going to the grocery store or getting a huge bill, or things that are going to draw more attention to you, are what you need to be doing. So this is going to help provide, you know, for additional people, and doesn't raise suspicion, right? So like when we had a bunch of chickens, we had more eggs than we could eat. We were giving eggs away. You know, we were, you know, giving a dozen eggs to some buddies. We're giving a dozen eggs to some neighbors. Now, if we had to house somebody, then that extra burn would be less, right? Because we have the surplus already built in. You know, that's something that we don't have to think about. And that doesn't just extend to, you know, lowering suspicion. That also extends to how long we could potentially house this person without it being an undue, you know, burn on the family, something that we would have to, you know, a lesser consideration in the long term, because you're not just playing the game of, okay, how long can I hide this person? You need to have a forward thought of, okay, if I have to hide this person, I'm not the one-stop shop. They have to go somewhere else, right? At least that should be the goal. You know, you're trying to get these people out in a way so that they can be out and away. You know, no one's going to want to hide forever, right? So you have to have that forward thinking in mind, which leads us into the shelter portion of things, the actual secrecy portion of things. Those kind of both go together. But this is the nigger. This is the what ifs when you're, you know, going along, you know, on your Chip and Joanna do it yourself throughout the house, tearing down walls and looking at closets, like, man, do you really need to be there? At least that's where my mind goes. Like, man, if I deleted that closet door, that's a pretty good amount of space.
Right. Like, where can you put in a trap door? Where can you put in a false wall? Is there enough space beneath your floorboards to stuff one or two or even five people?
Well, I was thinking, man, I was walking by. I don't remember where I was. I think it was like Atwoods or Tractor Supply or something. They had the pre-made, tornado shelters. I was like, dang. All right. So I go out and ride a skid steer, dig underneath my chicken coop for a bit. That's not a bad option. Like,
it's really not. You know, plus you can hide the entrance to this thing, say, with a whole bunch of like foliage, or, you know, you can even go so far as like a large false rock with a trap door on it. You know, the possibilities are endless for this kind of thing. Now a word from our sponsors.
This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their fire starters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time, they're basically dummy-proof.
And help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry-pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire.
And now a word from our newest sponsor, Granite Rifle Group. Granite Rifle Group is a precision rifle company owned and operated by a USMC veteran. You've probably heard him on our show.
Granite offers turnkey rifle solutions built around your field use, with plug-and-play upgrades available to tailor your rifle for your specific needs. GRG offers simple rifle kits or complete custom builds available to suit every need, from the weekend target shooter or hunter to the long-range precision rifleman.
Granite Rifle Group is all about putting high-quality precision rifles into the hands of Americans to extend the reach of the American rifleman. And when you use the code STRONGMEN at checkout, you'll get 6.9% off your order. Nice.
Check them out at graniterifelgroup.com or find them on Instagram at granite_rifle_group_LLC. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
I mean, there's so many options. That's the whole thing. So like you said at the beginning of the episode, you know, your mind is, you know, your imagination is the limit, right? And, you know, but, you know, this has all the considerations that we're talking about. So the time factor, the number of packs. So, yeah, I mean, you see all these old Victorian houses that were part of the Underground Railroad, you know, RK. Do I have space underneath a staircase or a stairwell, behind a false wall, like you said, an attic, a basement, a garage, a shed, you know, for, you know, super short term, you know, a vehicle. But, you know, my mind goes to Inglourious Basterds, to The Fugitive, The Bourne Identity, anything where, you know, these guys are on the run, they're getting assisted by other people. You know, that's what you're thinking about. How long can you sustain somebody else, this person or persons that are in your care, right? But no matter how great the space is, you have to have absolute discipline with your secrecy here. So
yeah, and another thing too to consider is, like, the more well hidden you try to hide something or someone, the harder it is going to be to get them either into or out of that place. Because if it's hidden right. from someone who's not familiar with it, like really well hidden, dude, it's going to be really, really hard to extract them if it's an emergency. My mind keeps going back to the old show Burn Notice, where the CIA yeah. operative, like, there was one episode where he was trying to find, I think it's an assassin who had like a hard drive of some kind, and he thought he found the assassin, but there was no real evidence of the hard drive. So they kind of left, and then they were just like, hang on a second, let's go back. And they went back in there, and the assassin was like beating into the drywall, like with a hammer. And she had apparently hidden this hard drive behind drywall, painted over it to make it look like it was just the wall. So it's like, yeah, if you're going to try to extract something or someone quickly, it can't be hidden extremely well. It just can't. Ease of access is really what we're talking about here.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, relatively easy to go in and out. But, you know, like we said, you know, discipline. All right. So don't be skylining around windows if you're not supposed to be right. there. Right. So if you're in some, you know, residential house, right, the neighbors know how many people are in the house. Okay. If they see a fighting age male just kind of lurking around the windows in the middle of the day on a freaking Wednesday, they're like, oh, that's not normal. I didn't see anybody come in with them. You're going to arouse suspicion. You know, stay inside during the day. When you venture out at night, do it smart. You know, if you have a, you know, covered backyard, you go out there. Don't go walk around on the street. You know, don't take pictures of or with your people. No digital footprint, period. You know, no, you don't get a phone. You don't get to go on a laptop. You don't get to do, you know, anything like that. You know, because what we know of metadata, what we know of, you know, getting IP address and everything else, it is a freaking minefield. You know, so that yeah. is a privilege you don't have anymore if you're hiding with me.
Yeah. Unless you're after you're in a Faraday bag.
Seriously. And, you know, after you guests leave, you know, you have to sterilize any area that they've been in forensically. Mm-hmm. It has to be forensically sterile. So we will have a counter forensics class, you know, in the future where we'll actually talk about going all the ins and outs of that. But it is terrifying what forensic scientists can do nowadays. I mean, they can find the different manufacturer of glitter that they can find at crime scenes and narrow that down. Like, it's stupid. So, absolutely huge issue. I mean, during the Troubles, the Irish found that out. But, anyhoozle. And then, being aware of involuntary informers. Okay, so children, for one. You know, kids don't know any better. And then we talk about, oh yeah, the man that's staying with us at that, you know, that'll give you away. You know, mentally unwell people, the elderly, if you're dealing with someone with, you know, with dementia or just anything. Just, and that's why I said, you know, involuntary informers. And then your physical surveillance. So, like we talked about, windows, staying quiet, don't answer the door unless if you're the host, you know, all sorts of stuff. Just, you know, basic stuff. But if you get too lax, then, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's going to nip you in the butt. And then on a lesser note, you know, talking about like NVGs, thermals, you know, but that's if you're like, if they're surveying you hard, that's yeah. more something you'd want to look into. But something else to consider is, you know, maybe hiding someone away isn't the best option. You know, think of, gosh, what was it, Yellowstone with Rip? You know, if you have a ranch or know somebody with a ranch who has ranch hands, you know, maybe punt your guy over there.
Yeah.
Could you just be another day worker? If he doesn't have papers, doesn't have any identifying things. If you're far enough outside of the searching zone, that might be a really solid option. You know, if you have the capability, if you know someone with the capability of getting you, you know, papers and, you know, everything else that you need, you know, that's the end goal, honestly, depending on how bad it is. But well, you know, last two things I had were time frame and coordination communication for, you know, just our auxiliary, you know, additional considerations. So like we talked about, time frame, how long is this person going to be here? You know, how long are they going to be in your care? Do you have a time limit for how long they can stay in the area? Okay, going back to, you know, the coordination organization of this network. Okay, so do you have a time frame for how long different resources are going to be there to get someone out of the area, or how long, you know, certain stations can be active, right? If a station is currently occupied, obviously that's not going to work. If they're being surveyed, if they got busted, you know, these things are going to be constantly changing. And then with... Go ahead.
And obviously, if the longer your package stays on premises, the more likely you are risking discovery. So, in my mind, depending on the organization, the especially the distance involved, logistics involved in it, I would want to move that package, if not immediately, then definitely within 24 to 48 hours. Because the longer that person is there, oh yeah, like, discovery is just...
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you either have to move them extremely quickly, or you have to take a long, long time.
Right.
You're going to have to do it expedient as fast as possible, or you're going to have to be in there for the long haul, where the search dies down, and then you can do it. Once again, very smart, very... You calculate and very purposeful, but you know, once everything dies down, and do it smart.
I mean, personally, I feel like expedience is the way to go, because like you said, with the unintentional informants, the longer that person stays there, the more likely it is that one of those informants, whether intentional or unintentional, is going to spot them. It's not if, it's just, it's when something is going to happen and they will get spotted. So in my mind, move that person as quickly as possible.
Right. Totally agree.
Yeah. So then,
and then
that leads into logistics and communication.
Right. Cause these, you know, your guest isn't going to be living in a bubble. You know, you need to be communicating to the next station. You know, if they have family, they need to be able to communicate with family. But this has to be done, obviously, very, very securely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is going to look different depending on what context you're in.
Yep.
You know?
And then,
you could buy a burner. You could, you know, set up one-time pads. You could send, you know, whatever. You know, maybe your niece or nephew needs a pen pal. I mean... You know, fill in the blank. Depends on how far your network spreads.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally, I would say radios, check-in times, you know, be jumping on the net at a certain time, a certain day, for a certain amount of time. You know, if there's packs being needed to be moved, you're already on the net, ready to go with that information. Brevity.
I say brevity codes out the wazoo, obviously.
Yes.
I would move more towards, you know, instead of radios, just burner phones. You know, buy them a freaking jitterbug at Walmart. And
that's true, yeah.
You know, word of mouth for whatever new, you know, SIM card we have that day. And, you know, just run it like that. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, also lends to your... You know, to what you're stressing is, you know, this is not a long term thing. This needs to be like a couple of texts and we're getting you out the door. Like,
yeah,
you need to be moving as quick as possible with this.
Right. Right.
Did you have anything else for this, man? I know this was kind of a quick ish class, but I mean, I'm sure everyone saw this at some point after watching, you know, these kinds of movies and, you know, seeing the plays that are being made, but at the same time, you know, they may think about it, but they don't think about it in depth. you don't think, oh, this kind of gets in that trap of, oh, this can never be my scenario. I would never have to do this. So you don't think of, you know, all the what ifs. Like, so not, you know, obviously this dramatic of a scenario, but we recently had my brother-in-law stay with us for like a month. Right. And that was a huge toll on my family that I didn't even think about. You know, just the grocery bill alone was like, oh, holy crap. Like, I took for granted how much another, like, adult eats. You know, it's crazy. Not to mention bumping into each other and, you know, different schedules and times and everything else. It's huge. And imagine having all the extra layers, you know, doing this in secret. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, and I know we say this quite often, but now is the time to be learning these things, because if you, unless you have been living under a rock, you've seen the social, economic, and the political climate that's actually, I don't even know how else to describe it, but it's just degrading. Like, things are going downhill, and they're going downhill fast.
Well, I was going to say, like, it sped up so much.
It went ridiculous. It went from, hey, he's a Nazi, to, hey, I'm going to try and freaking shoot him in the face. Like, it's been...
And, hey, we no longer like our candidates, so we're just going to screw, you know, the Democrat process, and here's your candidate.
Yeah. It's funny how they went from, she's the worst thing on the face of the planet. There's no way she should be vice president. This chick can't put together two sentences without giggling. She has the lowest approval rating of any vice president in history. To, hey, yeah, she's going to be the next president of the United States. If you have a brain in your skull, start learning the things that we're talking about, because I don't see things going very well here very soon.
Yeah.
Oh, and as another example, look at Venezuela. They're in a full-on coup at this point.
Again. Yeah. You do that a lot.
It's funny because they used Dominion voting machines.
Hmm.
They've been using Dominion. We got the Dominion voting machines from them. And if you look at the vote counting for this last election for them,
it's a mirror.
It looks strangely familiar.
Any usual.
Hi, patrons.
No. But like you said, we're not going anywhere great fast.
No, not at all. So if there was ever a time to learn even the basics, start now. You know? Especially,
well, not even, you know, I mean, you could spend a whole lifetime learning all this stuff, but just in your mind, put yourself outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, this can't happen here, this would never happen here, doesn't apply to you anymore. You have to think of these things as, this is a very real possibility.
This could happen tomorrow, guys. Not even joking. Something could kick off.
And no one knows what it could look like.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the whole thing, is you could be put in a role that you are wholly unprepared for. And if that doesn't scare you, I'm not sure what will. So, get learned. Get learned good.
Scares me, and I'm prepared.
That's the whole thing, is, you know, doing everything that you can, stacking the odds in your favor in every way you can conceive for, you know, to win. You know, it's no different than what anyone does. Mm-hmm. Of course you should do it. You know, if you don't, then you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Absolutely. So,
guys, we don't have anything else for you. This was a continuation of our Hide and Go Seek series titled Hide and Go Seek The Hunted. Guys, Spotify just recently updated some stuff, so you're actually able to comment on every darn episode we have. So please let us know what you think. If you have any questions, hit us up on Instagram, on our Discord, on Patreon, anywhere you can reach us. Hit us up. We'd love to talk to you. We love to get good feedback and improve in any way we can. And, you know, we just really get a beat on what you guys need and what you're looking for. But until next time, we're the Hard Time Shaman Podcast, sharing with Bear Class and Man. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. And don't get shot in the ear.
It was really funny how everyone put on the gauze thing. I thought that was
cute. Hey guys, this is 6 and 7 with the Hard Time Strongman Podcast. Wanted to take a second to do a mental health check-in and to tell y'all about the 988 Crisis Lifeline. So, the 988 Lifeline is a national network of local crisis centers that provides free and confidential emotional support to people in suicidal crisis or emotional distress 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the United States. You can reach the Lifeline at 988lifeline.org, or you can call or text 988 to get help, to get someone real on the phone.
Every struggle is different. Every struggle is hard. But you are not alone in whatever you're going through. As someone who has used the 988 crisis line, I fully recommend that if you're feeling any of those feelings of depression, suicide, hopelessness, get in touch with them immediately. They will help you. They will listen to you.
Once again, guys, you can reach the Lifeline at 988lifeline.org, or you can call or text them at 988. As always, guys, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.